Hi, I'm Rick Anthony, and welcome to the Someone You Should Know podcast, the podcast that focuses on musicians, authors, and interesting people. We like to say we're making a difference one artist at a time. So sit back, have a cold one, and get ready to meet someone you should know. August 16th, 1977, Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, dead at the age of 42. But for years that followed, people reported seeing Elvis in restaurants, grocery stores, and sporting events. So what if Elvis faked his death and became a secret agent? What about Jimi Hendrix or Janis Joplin or Jim Morrison? What if they all did the same? Now, the reason why I'm asking this is we happen to have on the podcast today authors of a book called Dead Rock Stars. Will you please welcome Kyle Wilshire? Kyle, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me. It's really exciting to be here.
Your co-author, Jay, couldn't make it, but listen, it's so glad to have you on. I think this is a great concept. So kudos on the concept of this book, because I'm a firm believer in parallel universes and multi-dimensions and such. Before we delve into the book, I want to learn a little bit more about you, too. Can I get what your background is and maybe what Jay does?
Yeah, sure. Jay and I, we met in college, so we've been buddies for nearly 30 years.
Wow. All right.
And we are just passionate about stories, about television, about film. You know, that's always sort of been a real kind of key in our friendship. And so it's something we've always sort of, you know, spent a lot of time, you know, talking about our favorite movies, our favorite shows, the things we're watching, you know. So that's kind of how we started, how we met. We're just best friends, and we're excited to write a book together.
Very good. And what does he do for a living?
Yeah, Jay's done a lot of different things. Currently, he's got a couple of irons in the fire, but let's just say right now he is an aspiring author.
All right,
I think that would be the best way.
Awesome,
to,
very good. And I understand you're an editor. You're an editor. This all changed
editor.
Thanks to COVID, right?
It did. Yeah. Became an editor during the COVID years. It was not something that I had education for. I'm not an English major. So my real role is I'm a content editor, which is I get the first stab at a book, and I look at it and work with the author about, does this make sense? You know, is this well written? And what I always tell authors is that I take your work, which, you know, I'll say it to you this way, I don't say it to them this way, but I take your work that's really good and I try to make it great is what I try to do. And then someone else will come in and do the periods and the commas and, you know, all those fun things.
Let's talk about the collaboration process of what you and what Jay are doing as far as that goes. When you came up with the concept of this book, how easy was it for you to flow into what he was thinking and vice versa?
Yeah, I personally feel like I don't want to put, you know, words in his mouth, but we've talked enough about this where I feel like I can safely say our partnership was built upon, you know, like I said, nearly 30 years of friendship.
Right, yeah.
Where we trust one another, we understand one another. Mm-hmm. So when it was time to start writing, I kind of had the initial idea. You know, that's one thing we would do. We would, you know, we'd pitch ideas to one another. Hey, would this be a fun movie? Would this be a fun TV series? And honestly, we wrote a book because we don't know how to write a movie. So that's kind of how that started. But I had the initial idea. I pitched it to him. I said, Jay, you know, what if all these, you know, famous rock stars that tragically passed too soon, what if they faked their deaths to become secret agents? And he kind of paused and was like, Kyle, that's not $1 million idea. That's a $1 billion universe. Yeah, yeah. We've got to do this. And, you know, he's the entrepreneur of the two of us. You know, he's the one, the go-getter. I'm more of the cautious, careful. Oh, I don't know about
you're the
that.
Devil's so, advocate, right?
A little bit, yeah. But we are very balanced. That's a beautiful thing about our partnership is the balance that we bring. He's the gas pedal. I'm the brake, you know?
Uh-huh.
So sometimes, you know, when you're going downhill, you got to hit a brake. Sometimes you need to get a little gas to get up the hill. And fortunately, because we trust one another, we know one another so well, you know, we can come to a place where we agree, yeah, we need to hit the gas right now. Or, oh, maybe let's hit the brake a little bit. So, yeah, we're just a good partnership, and it's built upon friendship and trust, for sure.
When this was pitched to me, I'm looking at it, and I'm going, why isn't this, like, part of the Marvel Universe type thing? I mean, this could be comic books, this could be merchandise, this could be so many things. And the premise of the book is fascinating to me, because for years people have claimed that Elvis has been seen past his death. And if you remember that famous photo with him and President Nixon, now, according to historians, Elvis wanted a special badge from the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs to add to his collection of police badges. And Jerry Schilling, who was a close friend of Elvis, said that he told President Nixon that it's kind of a James Bond thing with him. I'm going, if that doesn't lead into this book, nothing does. Was that part of the inspiration? Does that photo ring a bell with you guys?
Yeah, for sure. We were both Elvis fans growing up. I actually grew up in Memphis.
Oh, geez.
That's where I spent my middle school, high school years. Yeah. And Jay grew up here in Nashville. We live in the Nashville area. So Jay grew up a big Elvis fan as well. And so we've kind of both had, you know, seasons of, you know, reading books about him, you know, understanding, trying to get behind the man, not just the, one of the things about Elvis is he kind of can get become a cartoon, you know, Hong Kong, Burning Love, you know, like the snarled lip and all that. But like, he was a real dude, really complex, a lot of emotions, a lot of, you know, as we're seeing in these, you know, bunch of films come out about it in the last couple of years, Baz Luhrmann's Elvis and the one from Priscilla's perspective, Elvis and Me, I think just came out. You know, so we're seeing a lot of, you know, let's understand the man a little bit. So, you know, that's one of the things we found out was that he kind of long dreamed to be a DEA agent.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the irony is he walked in, he was high on something when he walked in meeting with, you know, President Nixon. He was like, man, I want to go help the young people. I want to go enforce the drug policy for this country. And so, yeah, just an interesting.
By consuming them and taking them off the streets, right?
That's right. Yeah, well, I think he wanted to be on the Drug Enforcement Agency. He wanted to be, you know, and that was one
thing. Let me check to see if that's really cocaine. Yep, it's cocaine.
It is. Tested, verified. But if you go to Graceland now, there's a whole assortment of badges that he collected. He kind of became a collector. And so different sheriffs, different agencies, different people gave him badges. And so that was, you know, that's a huge inspiration for us, was that, man, this is who this guy wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, you know, maybe all the karate and stuff.
Right,
know,
that's right. He was doing all that thing. Wow. Yeah, it was maybe he was working undercover. So that kind of leads to the whole thing. Maybe he did fake his death, you know. Now, before we continue, I hope you're enjoying the podcast. I thank you so much for tuning in to the Someone You Should Know podcast. It is heard wherever quality streaming audio is available and, of course, on our web at someoneyoushouldknowpodcast.com. There you're going to find our recent news, our archive of past episodes, and a whole lot more. And if you've been enjoying the podcast, we invite you to leave a nice review, if that's okay. Thanks to our friends at buzzsprout.com. That's the service that shares our podcast to all the streaming platforms. We are heard in over 2,000 cities in 85 countries around the world. A couple of new ones include Turnbull, Connecticut, Lake Forest, Illinois, Medicine Hat, Alberta, Canada, and Königsberg, Norway. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Someone You Should Know podcast. And we're speaking with our good friend, Kyle Wiltshire. He is a co-author of a book called The Dead Rock Stars, and the concept of this is just blowing my mind. Now, the book takes place in an alternative universe where dead rock stars form kind of a Justice League, if you want to call it that. However, something is happening on the horizon that they cannot control, and they must recruit a protagonist by the name of Cole Denton. Tell us who Cole Denton is.
So when Jay and I set out to write this book, we started thinking about, you know, the initial idea, was, you know, all the characters are going to be real life rock stars, you know, Elvis Presley, John Lennon, Kurt Cobain, you know, some of these like the most famous people who tragically passed too soon, you know, they formed this group. But the more we thought about it, we realized every great story, you know, you need someone who is coming into the world just like the reader is. So the reader can see the world through their eyes.
Okay,
so you think
cool.
about it. Mm-hmm. Luke Skywalker, you know, what's the Force? He has to ask Obi-Wan Kenobi in the first movie, what's the Force? Mm-hmm. Obi-Wan Kenobi's got to tell him what the Force is. You know, Harry Potter, he doesn't know what a muggle is when he comes into the, you know, this whole brand new world of the Harry Potter universe. So we needed someone that we thought someone can come into this world and experience it just like the reader is, doesn't know anything about it. They're the neophyte who can be initiated into the fraternity, so to speak. So we came up with a character named Cole Denton. Cole Denton is a kind of a prototype. He's fictional. He's not real, but he's a prototype Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or, you know, one of these guys in the, and I should have said this earlier, but our book is set in 1999. And Cole Denton is kind of on the cusp of that technological boom where the internet is just exploding. He's one of the early adopters. He's, you know, he's a young person. He's 21 years old. So he kind of grew up knowing how to, you know, how to operate, how to use the internet. And he, his claim to fame in 1999 was that he created the first internet dating website. We did a little research. We found that eHarmony didn't exist in 1999. It came after. And so his website is called connection.com with an X, you know, CONNEXTION.com. So that's his sort of deal. And you know, Elvis and the team realize that there's a threat that's happening in the world in 1999 that they are ill equipped to stop.
And is, so it, is it like Y2K?
Well, it could be. You have to read the book to find out.
Oh, okay.
You have to read the book to find out.
I hope I didn't do a spoiler alert there.
Well, you know, you never know. You never could be. Maybe it's something different.
Yeah, it could
so,
be. Yeah.
So, yeah, so they he you know, meets Cole, recruits him, brings him into the team. That's a bit of a spoiler, but, you know, come on. You know that
you knew it was going to happen, yeah.
He's got to get in the team somehow, but to come in and help them fight a group that they discovered to be known as the Brotherhood is who they're the people they're going up against, and trying to figure out how to stop these guys and their destructive tendencies in the world. So, Cole Denton's a computer genius, not a rock star.
So the Brotherhood is probably kind of like the corporate programmers who say, your song's too old to play on the radio. We need some young stuff.
You know, setting the book in 1999 let us have a lot of fun with some memories. And so there's actually a conversation between two characters about how Napster, you remember Napster?
Yeah, exactly.
Napster's going to change everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, we even make a few jokes about, hey, one day people are just going to go on a TV show and win a contest. That's how they'll get a record contract, you know, and kind of foreshadowing American Idol and all that.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah, that's really cool. I like the idea. I don't understand why this won't become a movie. This has everything that it takes to be a movie and to be marketed to, you know, the toy industry. And, you know, I this is going to be a Christmas gift a couple of years from now. The kids are going to want, I want the dead rock star action figure.
Your lips to God's ear. That's what,
yeah, that
that's
would be
what
nice.
I like
And remember, you heard it here first, folks, 10% to the house. Okay.
Oh, I can't do that.
Where's the book available at?
Everywhere books are sold is really cool. Our publisher is Morgan James, and we are in Barnes and Noble. Uh-huh. We're in obviously Amazon. You know, anywhere that you find a book online, uh-huh. And we've even seen it pop up in a physical bookstore too, which is really cool to walk in and to pull your book off the shelf and go, hey, we wrote this. Pretty
Let's
fun.
Go ahead and move that to the front.
That's right.
Display it nicely here.
That's right.
And then the person walks by. Look. This is interesting. I wonder what this is all about.
Yeah.
Until they see about the author and see your picture on the back cover, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Here's a question. How do you think the music industry and fans would react if they found out that their legends that they had thought were dead for years are actually alive and secret agents? How do you think they would act?
You know, I think that's one of the fun things we get to talk about in the book is, you know, dead is dead. Uh-huh. And there's even a joke at some point, because our book is pretty humorous, but there's a joke at some point where Elvis, and again, remember it's 1999, and you have to, if you're younger than that, but you and I would remember this, whenever you checked out at the grocery store and you looked at the magazine rack, you know, in the 90s, it was always Elvis Presley spotted at local pizzeria, you know, Elvis and aliens. I think that was, you know, what the National Enquirer lived on for all those years.
Yeah.
But he made a joke, you know, sometimes they actually do see me, but people don't believe it because when someone's dead, they're dead. So I think people would react in a, you know, for some folks, you know, like Elvis, it's like, I always knew it. Other people, it would be like, why would they do that? Why would they fake their deaths and walk away from their lives and their fans and all, there may be some anger, you know? But I think if this story were real, and the people walk away from their lives and someone with families, to be honest, at that time, to go do something as noble as save the world from the unseen threats. You know, I think there may be some, they may get a pass for that.
I think the concept is just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. From the first time I looked at it, I'm going, I'm looking forward to have these guys on the show because it's just something I think it's all right. call me gullible. I think it's plausible. I really do. I think it's plausible. This could actually be true. Let's find out how people can find a little bit more about you guys and the book and such. Links to social, where would we find you at?
Yeah, we've got a website, deadrockstarsbook.com, where you can get some autographed first edition books if you're interested in that. Yeah, we do have social media, Facebook, Instagram, and X, Twitter, whatever it's called now. The Dead Rock Stars book on Facebook, the DRS book on Instagram, and just DRS book on X.
I'll have everything in the show notes. Everybody that'll be down in the show notes, that way, you know, if you're in your car or whatever right now, go ahead and click on the show notes when you get safe and go ahead and get yourself a couple hundred copies of that. Okay.
Yes, please do. Check us out.
It's going to be a great, great book. Cause you know, here's the thing. Okay. You can get in now when the movie actually hits in a couple of years. Okay. You can say, I've read the book long before that. And the movie's not as good as the book. and these guys, they wound up winning the Academy Award for best screenplay and such, you know, we knew about that back in 2024, you know?
That's right. Be an early adopter.
Exactly. Once again, a couple hundred copies, buy that. And don't forget, you heard it here on the Somebody You Should Know podcast. Real quick.
I love it.
Kyle, any last things that we should know about the book and you guys that we haven't talked about already?
No, man, we're just grateful to be here with you. Thank you for being your energy and your passion for our story and our book. We really think it's a lot of fun. We do think that it is something that could become a universe, because honestly, the possibilities are limitless when you think about celebrities, famous people, maybe presidents who have passed away tragically. Right. You know, what if there's something that's been going on for a lot longer than anyone realizes, and there's a lot more people than anyone knows involved in this thing. So it's open to a wide array of people who could be involved in this fictional universe.
Yeah, exactly. Fictional universe. Kyle, man, thanks again for being on the show. This is great.
Thank you for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
Saturday at noon Eastern Time on the DJ Hall of Fame.
John Records, Land Record.
I've been rewound.
Rewound Radio.
Hi, Rick Anthony here. I had a chance to interview some great folks on my Someone You Should Know podcast, heard around the world. One of the most interesting folks I've spoken with has been John Records Landecker. Well, here's some good news. John will be featured on the Rewound Radio DJ Hall of Fame the last two weekends of March. You will hear unscoped recordings of John from Michigan, Philadelphia, Toronto, Cleveland, and of course the Big 89, WLS, and other stations in Chicago. As part of the fun, we'll include some segments from my recent podcast with John, just to give some additional context to the special. Don't miss it on Rewound Radio, where it's not how old it is, it's how good it is. Part 2 is coming up this Saturday at noon Eastern Time.
Rewound Radio, DJ Hall of Fame.